What do we make of the just-ended Olympics? Planetary spectacle in London, 440 million eyeballs watching in the United States, which, of course, translates into about 219 million actual viewers, give or take a few fashionable eye patches. That's the number NBC is claiming it netted throughout the Games. A good opportunity to speak with our pal Bob Garfield over at On the Media, produced upstairs right here at WNYC. Bob, it turns out, is not a big fan of the Olympics, but he loves to see just how the Olympics is a chance for the television networks, in this case NBC, to stall a certain inevitability. TV loves the Olympics, but it's not so much about sports as it is about the uniqueness of this planet-scale live event. And in 2012, the Games showed up on many, many platforms, broadcast, digital, and even social, a tasty opportunity for any network.
It is, and it's the TV industry is very sad that it happens but every 4 years, because that is the only dynamic that works for the television broadcasting model, which is in a state of mid-collapse. Because of time shifting and because you can get your content online without the advertisers getting any value out of it, and for a host of other technology, digital revolution-related reasons, the TV industry is not far behind the newspaper industry in just sort of collapsing before our eyes. The one thing that works for TV is live, real-time broadcasts of sporting events and award shows in which the audience wants to participate as a group, either physically as a group or with social sharing so you can compare notes on Twitter or whatever while the events are taking place. The Olympics is just the ideal event for television as it's constructed now, but it only comes twice a decade.
So here's one thing that I want you to react to. The up-close and personal profiles that NBC produced using its news talent, right? You've seen a few of those,
yeah.
Right?
What
happened this year that I think only happened sporadically 4 years ago was they'd announce the piece, then they do an ad, and then the piece would roll. So you had the ads becoming more and more embedded in the actual profile of the up close and personal of Michael Phelps or whoever it is they were profiling, just as you have advertisers doing up close and personal profiles as actual ads during the advertising segments themselves.
And when we come together to cheer as one, we know what happens. Visa, proud sponsor of the Olympic Games for 25 years.
Yeah, this has actually evolved over the past, let's say, 25 years, where the advertising in the Olympics is almost always Olympic themed. You know, for the expense of the purchase, the advertisers have figured out that they'll engage their audience better if they use the personalities and the content and the imagery of the games. So when you watch the Olympics, it's just one big Olympic I think it's a mess, but the advertisers certainly believe that they should stay thematic. And even within that, they perform various tricks to make it even seem less programmed and more spontaneous.
Well, here's an example. I loved this. I mean, and I don't know if I love it because of my dark sense of humor, or if I love it just because of the technology that was used. But you had in this Olympics an event that rolled, and you just saw an event and like a world record in one of the swimming competitions. And the ad that rolls after it actually has the same video footage on a smartphone. I think it was an AT&T ad that what you just saw was on the smartphone. And, you know, it just was some narrative to try to sell the smartphone. But you're going to see more and more and more of this kind of real-time, spontaneous, what happened in reality is suddenly in the ad moments later.
Yeah, before I even respond to your point, let me just say that the fundamental problem with advertisers on television is the audiences are fragmented. And while the total number of TV viewers across all channels is growing with the population, the number of people watching any given program is shrinking dramatically. So it's hard to buy an ad and get the kind of reach you did 20 years ago or even 10. So when you have a huge audience like you get for the Olympics, this is a big deal for advertisers. And they want to make sure that the people are engaged as much as they can. And one is through the kinds of tricks you've just described. And, you know, the Lochte, is that the guy's name, the swimmer? He breaks the world record, within 2 hours you see an ad that has his world record time integral to the narrative of the ad, and you go, what?
Tomorrow, 5:18.
When we saw him, he said, this is my time. My time is now, and it certainly is.
So far, these swimming games belong to Ryan Lochte.
And you go, what? How did they do that? Which means you're engaged in the ad.
And they don't even need a two-hour turnaround. I mean, technologically, they could do that same turnaround in 60 seconds these days.
Damn near. So here's how they do it. One, they have arrangements between the advertisers and NBC. They say, not only are you buying time, but we're going to help you do something exciting in your advertising. And that means giving them access to broadcast quality footage absolutely instantly to help them in the production of their ads. The second thing they do is shoot a lot of permutations in advance. It's not magic. It's a trick. And the trick is they look at many possible outcomes with various talents, and they're prepared for anything to happen when the race is actually run. And then the third thing they do, of course, is use digital technology to composite the winning time in an ad that is otherwise, at that stage, already pretty much finished.
Right.
So they composite it in the whiteboard of the winning time, and all of a sudden it looks like they're alchemists.
But does this strategy migrate into regular scripted television as more and more advertisers want to buy a horizontal position where they get not only the online piece of the audience, but they get the primetime piece of the audience, they get the website piece of the audience, they get the cable platform piece of the audience, that they're buying a product that goes all places at once?
Yeah, they're trying, but it's a losing proposition, John, because of the very fragmentation we discussed earlier. The audience shows up in such tiny clusters, and you have to go so many different places to aggregate anything that resembles the kind of mass audiences that the advertisers were able to reach not long ago, that they've got other fish to fry besides connecting them somehow. And of course, since they're all different, very different kinds of programming, right? It's not the Olympics, a single theme of total immersion over 3 weeks. It's a sitcom here, a reality show there, a drama rerun there. That there's no way to make the ads thematically consistent with wherever they're being dropped in. So this level of thinking and of trickery is reserved to mass audience, large events that captivate the world. And, of course, those are few and far between.
All right. I'm scared to ask you this question, Bob, but here goes. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
So when NBC says, wow, more people watch this than ever before in U.S. history. 219 million people watch the Olympics, most watch event. Are they holding a party to celebrate their cutting-edge media and technological savvy, or are they basically having a dance party on the deck of the Titanic?
The answer, of course, is yes. It is. They are on the deck of the Titanic. There's no question about that. NBC, among the networks, most of all, but even CBS, which is still performing pretty well. You know, they're all going down eventually. Network television in 15 years will be a very different environment than it is now. Very different, and it's not a pretty scene. So, yes, they're on the Titanic. But NBC should be exchanging high fives and dancing the night away because they invested $37 squidjillion to get this event with the expectation of losing about $10 squidjillion. The value they get out of the Olympics is not earned immediately. The audience was so large over these many, many, many platforms that they say they broke even, which is entirely unexpected. They did pretty well. So, you know, they may have by a day or two or a week or a month or a year kept the ocean liner from from sinking below the surface.
All right, so short-term good news for NBC, but if all the networks go down, you have to wonder if Bob Garfield is going to have a job as co-host of On the Media. We suspect he will. Bob Garfield, thanks so much.
John, it has been my pleasure.